Hi, this is Anthony Turner on Business Success Radio. Today, my guest is a lady called Jack Hackett, who about 15 years ago found the courage to make one of the biggest jumps that many business owners make, and that is to come out of what is seen to be the safe annals of government and corporate life to go into her own private consulting business. Jack, thank you for giving us some time and welcome to Business Success Radio.
Many thanks, Anthony. Good to be here.
As I said in the introduction there, you've made that quantum leap. What on earth possessed you to do that?
Sometimes I wonder. Look, I had worked in what I'd call the public health sector for probably a good dozen years in a whole lot of different jobs, been prepared to move around, take on new and challenging positions, and I was just at a point of considering what my next move might be as the position, the project I was working on was coming to an end, and I was actually meeting with a very experienced and well-respected consultant who did then consult a lot to the health sector, and I was having a coffee with her. I'd worked, you know, she'd been part of a project I've been doing, and I was discussing this whole thing about what I might do next, and Ruth said to me, well, have you thought about consulting? And up until that point, I have to say I haven't. But the minute she put the seed into my head, I was interested. And what really clinched me making the leap was that she offered to mentor me in the first year of doing that. And so, yeah, so the rest is history. But it was a scary decision, but a great decision. And having a mentor made all the difference.
Yeah, I think that's something that often people do forget when they're making huge changes, and that is to get that external sort of dispassionate advice.
Yeah, I think that's right. And to be honest, what I've gone out to do is be a solo consultant, and that's what lots of people do. Yes, there are consulting firms, and there are small sort of boutique firms that have a team, but if you're a solo consultant, you know, it can be very isolating. And you take the leap out, and you may well have gone from, you know, working with colleagues and teams and things like that, and suddenly you're on your own, and it can be very tricky to figure out how and where to get support and advice to build your business.
I guess the world is changing at the moment, isn't it? I mean, I do a fair bit of work in dealing with government and at different levels, and there seems to be sort of a fairly big change within government generally, and possibly the health sector as well, which is whereby many what has been traditional full-time jobs are now being changed into 2 or 3 day type roles as governments tighten their budget strings. Mm. And I would imagine there's probably many people who are considering making this a similar sort of transition as you've done. Based on that, what are some of the things do you think that they need to consider before making that decision to go consulting?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think you're right. Lots of people, especially people in senior positions in the government sector, do consider it. And often when I'm out and about in consulting projects, people do take the opportunity to kind of have a chat with me about it. You know, you can tell that they've been, you know, considering it. And, of course, we're in a climate, as you say, where the belts are tightening in the fiscal environment. And there's been a trend in downsizing in government sectors, in the public sector. So you've actually got lots of people you've got really more people, I think, leaving senior positions in government than perhaps before, with a lot of experience, a lot of corporate knowledge, a lot to offer still, not ready for retirement. And so many of them would and do make great consultants. But I think it can be difficult to self-assess, you know, whether this is a career move that's right for you. I think that's one of the things that people need to consider. And I think there are a number of things that you definitely need. You need an existing toolbox of things in order to figure out whether, you know, consulting is going to be for you or not.
So what do you mean by that as the toolbox?
Well, what I mean is, you know, first of all, I think you have to have had a career in the government. I mean, you have to be a successful, you can't just kind of, you know, leap into it without having what I call, you know, credibility. You really need credibility to make that move, and that comes from, you know, your expertise, the expertise you've built up working in the government sector, the experience, you need to have a really good reputation, and you need to have connections. And all those things are developed over your career, and your career really does provide the foundation. But you also need to bring a really good understanding of the operating environment you're going to work in. I mean, I do find that people say to me, gosh, if you can work in health, you can probably work anything, anywhere in government, because it's a complex, complex environment. But no matter what public sector you're going to consult in, it's going to be complex, and you need to have, you know, that under your belt, a general kind of understanding of, you know, how is it structured, how are services delivered, what are its people like, you know, what are the common challenges, the politics, the values, you know, that kind of thing. You need to bring that with you. And I think there's another thing that, you know, I wasn't sure I knew this when I started out myself, but what I've really discovered is you absolutely need to have the ability to work outside your comfort zone. You know, because, you know, when you start a new job, a new position, you know, there's always an orientation period, and, you know, you get to meet the people concerned, and you get to do a bit of reading and all the rest of it. But when you're a consultant, it's like starting a new job, you know, six times a year.
Yeah, and I guess you're throwing in the deep end, really, because the first aspect of that is obviously familiarisation with whatever it is you're going to be working on.
Exactly. And so, well, for me, for example, you know, all of my work is in health. Well, you know, 98% of it is all in the health sector. But honestly, every new job that I'm doing, I'm dealing with things I don't know still. So this year I've been working on, I reviewed a hepatology service in a major hospital. I'm working with another organisation, a large organisation in health, to develop their health education and training plan. I've reviewed a women's health service this year. So, you know, one day it might be drug and alcohol services, the next day it might be maternity services, the next day it might be community engagement. You know, so it's all in health. But there's a very steep and quick learning curve to get on top of the issues pretty quickly. And so you really do have to be able to operate outside your comfort zone. And so why I think that's good for people who are thinking about making the move to consider is, if you know, if you've been someone who's really stayed in the same kind of job for, you know, years and years and years, who's really kind of, you know, comfortable in that, and, you know, need to know that you know what you need to know, you know, maybe consulting's not for you. You know, you do spend a lot of time having to quickly come to terms with new situations and really perform at a high level pretty quickly. And if you've moved around a lot and if you've had lots of different jobs, you know, you're probably going to love consulting.
Yeah, I guess the person who's moved around a bit is used to that sort of that change and the dynamics of change. I remember reading Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited, and he talks about the three different types of people. There's the entrepreneurial type, the management type, and the technician type, that people love to do the work. And what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, probably if you're that technician worker type who likes to just be there tinkering away at doing whatever you're doing, or you're the systems organizing person, you know, maybe the consulting thing is actually not the right fit for what your personality type is.
Yeah, I think it can be very true. I mean, there are clearly, I think, some helpful and unhelpful attributes, you know, that if you're going to think about consulting. For example, if you are a procrastinator, you're totally going to struggle. You know, once you're a consultant, you have just got to get on with it. You know, that's why your clients hire you, to get a job done quickly and effectively. You just got to get on with it. And if you know how to do things like set boundaries and stick to them, you'll do well. And if you like a deadline and you're good with a deadline, you're probably going to do very well too. But if you don't have those things, if you're not okay, for example, to be flexible and adapt to new situations and go with the flow, then you could struggle. And I think the other attribute that you need, and I think every solo consultant struggles with this, is you have to be okay living with a degree of uncertainty, because managing the workflow can be tricky, and workflow leads to cash flow. And so there are times for every consultant where suddenly, you know, things dry up and you don't really know when it's going to turn a corner, and it always does, but you do need to be, you know, okay about living with that kind of uncertainty. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it is for everybody. I think, you know, there's a mixture of things that are going to make it work and not work.
It's very interesting, and you've just touched on probably one of the key challenges for people in the consultancy or self-employed service businesses, and that is those the ups and downs of the of cash flow and work. What are some of the other challenges and issues that you faced, Jack, when you actually made that move, you know, from what is probably a fairly secure environment and reasonably well paid at senior levels of government into that inconsistency?
Well, again, I think in my situation, some of the pain of it was taken away by having a mentor. You know, it was just such a fantastic way to do it. But I think that when people make the move from employment to consulting, there's probably three main problems they can commonly face in that first year of trying to run their business. And the first thing is that I think they don't earn enough money. And the main reasons I think for this are, firstly, they don't know how to win project bids, or they don't know how to do it well enough to win consistently. So there's a whole art about mastering, you know, consultancy proposals and client briefings and all that sort of thing. So there's that. And I think the second reason they struggle with income flow is that they don't necessarily know how to quote effectively, and so they can end up spending a lot of unpaid time on the job. You know, they haven't scoped it out sufficiently, so you end up doing kind of, you know, more in that than you'd quoted for, and there's all sorts of things you didn't know. And again, for me, having a mentor, and in fact my very first project as a consultant was on a small team. Ruth pulled three of us together to do a fairly large Commonwealth Government evaluation. And so that was just, you know, fantastic learning for me. I didn't have to, you know, really make any of those decisions all by myself, you know, but she coached me all the way along it. So I think that's the first thing. I think the not earning enough money and getting that happening because of those things. And I think the second problem people face is that they fairly quickly find that they lack some of the core consulting skills that they actually need. And so they're not really delivering up to their clients' expectations. So what I mean by that is, you know, I've already said that you need to come with a whole lot of expertise and experience, and that's very true. But actually, there is a transition, and there are some core things, what I call consulting skills, that you don't necessarily have up your belt by being a great senior manager or a great policy officer. You know, so there's a whole lot of things you actually need to learn if you're going to survive.
So what sort of things are they?
Well, they're the sort of things like, I've already mentioned the consultancy proposal. So unless you get that together and learn how to do that really well, you're not going to stand out from the crowd. And many consultancy work, that it's competitive bids. So, you know, you're up against other people. I think that you really need to know how to conduct effective stakeholder consultations as a consultant in the kind of world that I'm in. And that's, again, something that you may not have, you know, learned how to do. And there's some real tips and tricks around that, you know, you need to learn and get good at pretty quickly. You also need to do things like, you know, in consultancy, you generally kind of gather a whole lot of information from people, but you have to figure out how to distill all of that into findings that are relevant and, you know, to your client and to their organisation. And again, it's not necessarily something, you know, I've got all this information, people have told me all these things, I've analysed the data. Actually bringing all that together and applying critical thinking and distilling it is a real core consultancy skill. And of course, the writing of a decent and excellent report is another thing. And look, to be honest, I think that there are, you know, they're not great writing skills, are not necessarily something that is prevalent, you know, in the public sector, and I don't know about the private sector. You know, we tend to be bogged down by bureau speak and briefs and, you know, all sorts of things. And it's a very different kind of report you need to prepare as a consultant. So you see what I mean? There are these core things that, yes, you've got all this experience, etc., but suddenly, you know, you've got to do all of those things that you may not know how to do. And I think the third thing that people struggle with is, and I've already mentioned this, is that they're isolated. And so they go from being in a team and surrounded by staff and colleagues and to actually working on their own and not necessarily knowing where to go to get the information and the advice they need. It's, there's no roadmap.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess there's another part of that too, is that those people who've been in management who are looking to move into the consultancy space, all of a sudden don't have those people around them, as you said before. But those people typically are there to do a lot of the work as well. So, you know, they don't have the people to delegate. Oh, you know, John, can you create a budget for me on this? Or Mary, can you go and do the marketing side of it? Or, you know, or all of those things. And I guess that's probably a new experience that you may have faced. I know I faced it. Is having to be jack of all trades across all of those other business disciplines that typically are not part of the brief when you're actually managing.
I think that's absolutely right. And it can be a real shock to the system. And, you know, even things like not having IT support, there's no help desk when you're suddenly out there on your own. And, you know, it's true. You either need to figure out how to do everything yourself, or you need to learn how to subcontract some of that. But it's, you're right, there's no backup when you're a solo consultant. I mean, there's a million benefits of being a solo consultant. I'm not trying to paint it as, you know, poor me, but there is the shock of having to kind of master everything on your own. There's no easy way to delegate some of it.
Yes, I guess And because your area is rather specialised in health and everything else, probably the ability to delegate sort of some of the more mundane aspects of it are probably less available to you than, say, somebody who's in a general sales and marketing type consultancy or general business consultancy.
Yeah, potentially that's true. I mean, I think one of the things that's recently made a huge difference is the whole emergence of the online freelance community, you know, employment sector. And I think that is something, you know, I was in London about 8 years ago, and I was visiting with a friend who also runs a small business, very different field from mine. And we were talking about the challenges of it all. And she said to me, you need to get yourself a VA. And I had never heard that term before. And for those, if there's anyone listening who doesn't know, it's a virtual assistant. And I made it my business to come home after that trip and investigate. And you probably know, Anthony, that, you know, this a world of freelancers out there willing to do almost anything from on sites like Elance and Odesk. And I have to say that learning how to use those has been an absolute godsend. It really has. So, for example, if you are, you know, a senior manager, you've probably not been doing your own, preparing your own PowerPoint presentations for, you know, a number of years, for example. And if you're not good at that, if it's not going to come easily to you, it's going to take you a lot of time, which as a consultant, when you're in a time for money business, is not a good use of your time. It's exactly the sort of thing that you can outsource quickly, cheaply, easily, to someone else to do. Yes, you know, I obviously need to prepare the content, what's on the slides, because I'm the only person who can, you know, do that. But someone else can put it in a template and, you know, animate it and do all sorts of things. There's a myriad of things like that that I just think wasn't available when I first started consulting. And now there is a whole world out there. And I still think it's an area that people are not necessarily comfortable with or familiar with. And, you know, there's a lot of help to be had out there.
Yeah. Jack, do you find that there's some specific tools or, you know, sort of technological tools and everything else that you've found very useful as a consultant?
In the kind of consulting work that I do, you know, the things that I mean, one of the changes that's happened since technology got a lot better is that I spend a lot less time with clients face to face. So nowadays I will do a lot of consultations by telephone and via Skype. You know, it's a great, you know, I can touch type, so I can, you know, take notes easily as I go, and you know, it's a great tool. There's also great transcription services if you need them, again, you know, cheaply done on, you know, some of the VA sites. And I think that technology has really changed the kind of day-to-day of how I work, which also is a benefit for clients because doing things face-to-face is more costly for a client. They're paying for your time to be on the road and out and about. Nowadays, the vast majority of things can be done, you know, files are transported and transferred, and I mean, we all take it for granted, but it is, it has changed how we, you know, how I consult.
That's really interesting, and I can see the benefits. I mean, you mentioned travel time and everything else. The time, as you said before, is money to you as a consultant. And if you're spending time, you know, traveling and meetings and things like that that are not very productive, it's generally not productive time, then those are the things that are actually costing you money and stopping you from earning an income, which is what, you know, every business is actually about.
Exactly. And that's the real challenge when you're in a time for money business, which most consultants would be, is how to actually maximise and get the best use out of your time. And also, how do you pass that on to the client? I mean, if you're going to be competitive in a consultancy project bid, you know, I always ask those sort of questions in a client briefing about, you know, what's your expectations? Do I need to go and see people? Are you happy for me to talk to them by phone or interview them by phone and that sort of thing? Because your bid can be a lot more competitive if you're prepared to do those things by phone. And to be honest, I think they are just as effective, you know, those methods. Telephone interviews for me, and some situations really do need you to be face-to-face, but by and large, telephone interviews are a great option, effective option, and they will cost you, you know, cost your client less money and potentially make your bid more competitive as a result.
Makes a lot of sense. Jack, one other question that comes to mind is that, you know, you've got a fairly specific area of expertise, obviously in the health sector, although, as you were saying earlier in the interview, that, you know, that takes you into very broad aspects of health. How important do you think it is to actually develop a specific niche as a consultant as distinct from, you know, attempting to be the generalist, in inverted commas?
Look, it's a really good question, and I've considered this quite a lot over the years. And look, I think when you're first, I think you have to decide as a consultant what's going to be your niche or your area of expertise. You know, what kind of problems are you going to solve for clients? And what sector is going to be your niche? But I think that over the years, you know, you can hone that a lot more. When you first start out, look, to be honest, I think you're pretty happy to get any job. And when I first started out, I was really, you know, prepared to do almost anything I thought I was capable of doing. It was all in health, and that was my niche. But within that, you know, I would do all sorts of things. I would, you know, develop and write policy. I would do strategic planning for people. I would review and evaluate services, you know, write sort of statewide guidelines. You know, I would do all sorts of things. And over the first few years, I really learned about, you know, what I was actually really good at. So, for example, I sort of gave up doing strategic planning after the first few years. I mean, I was good at it, but I wasn't great at it, you know. It wasn't an area I thought I excelled in. My clients were always happy with the result, but, you know, and also the other factor was I didn't love it. You know, I didn't love doing that work. And so I think it's finding that balance between what you really excel at and what you really love doing, you know. And then obviously there's the what's in, you know, what work is available in the marketplace. So, you know, I've come to a position where I focus a lot on two kind of areas. And one is evaluation and review of health services and programs. and the other is working with complex organisational problems in health organisations and finding solutions. And so they both are areas that call on the things that I'm really good at, like critical thinking and client communication and those sort of things. And I really love them. You know, they're both areas that I excel in and I love, and there's a market there for me. And over the years, I've given up other things that I'm very good at, but I don't love as well. So it's actually really about finding that balance if you're going to sustain it over time.
Yeah, I think that's one of those key differentiators, isn't it, that enables you to still work very hard, but actually not feel like you're working at all because you're doing what you enjoy.
Mm. Because, you know, it's one thing I do say is that it's complex work. You know, the work that I do and that many consultants do is hard. It's complex. It's not easy to kind of, you know, you can't just walk in and it all falls into place. So unless you find it interesting and, you know, fits with your values and your attributes, etc., then you're really going to struggle because it is hard work. It's great work and I love it, but I wouldn't say it's easy, you know. some projects are easier than others, but even the projects that look easy at the start, they rarely turn out to be.
Yeah, they often have their own hidden complications.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things that I've noticed when I've done some consulting work is that, and I don't know whether this is your experience or not, but sometimes the clients seem to think you're like the Lone Ranger, that you've got the silver bullets that are actually going to fix everything for them. And in that case, how do you manage those sorts of expectations?
Yeah, it's another great question. And, you know, managing expectations is another core consulting skill, actually, that you really need to learn about. And you get much better at that over time. But, yes, so every consultant will have a story or two or three, I reckon, about a client who came to them with a project that was, you know, they'd struggled with for years to get fixed and, you know, never been, or had tried three or four different things and they, you know, haven't been able to deal with it. And now they want you to, someone says, oh, let's get a consultant team. and they want you to do that project for, you know, in 3 weeks for, you know, $10,000. You know, obviously I'm making that up, but.
Sure.
You know, there are projects that you do need to walk away from, even if you're strapped for work at the time, because you really do need to figure out whether a project is doable or not. And clients can often be unrealistic in their expectations. Having said that, one of the things to do, one of the things I always do, is I will always have really good conversations with the client up front to help me understand what it is, the problem they're facing, and why it is they want a consultant in to deal with it. And often, if the scope right at the start is unrealistic from the client's perspective, you can talk them around. I mean, the client is really looking for someone to come in and help them solve their problem. And if you have a very good and considered response which tells them that, actually, I get what you're trying to do, but there's no way you're actually going to do it either with this amount of time and money or in the way that you're suggesting. But here's some alternatives I think you could consider. You know, if you can help them right up front, often there's a way around, and, you know, sometimes you do need to just walk away if there's no changing things. But often there is scope to actually shift the client round to a more sensible and practical way of thinking about it. So that's right at the start. And you do get those situations where people want you to come in with the silver bullet, and you just can see. I mean, over time you get better at figuring them out. Oh, no, not touching this one, you know. but managing expectations along the way is also really, you know, a real skill as well when scope creeps or when changes happen, et cetera, et cetera. And again, you know, it's something you'll get better at over time.
Yeah, I guess the other thing that was quickly just going through my mind then is that in saying no, one of the benefits for the consultant is, even though the client may be disappointed, is that if it's not right for you, you're better to let it go to somebody else rather than attempt to do something and maybe it not working out as well and having that impact your own reputation.
Oh, I totally agree, and especially if you're new to the consulting game, you know, for the first, you know, few projects, you can rely on your credibility and reputation as an employee. You know, you're bringing with you all this experience and know-how and expertise. But after your first few projects, your reputation is really going to be staked on those projects. And, you know, that's the reputation you want to build eventually, is a reputation as a great consultant. And anything that has the chance to damage your reputation as a consultant, you need to consider very carefully. I have a rule that I really never take on a project that I do not think I am capable of doing. You know, because, and I'm very happy to work with a client to figure out if I can find someone else to work with them, but you know, there are a number of areas of consulting that I get asked to do things and I won't do them because it's not my area of expertise. And if you take it on and you blow it, then, you know, that is going to be on your reputation. And also if you take on a lemon, you know, that can be really difficult for your reputation too.
Makes a lot of sense. Jack, in terms of, you know, wrapping this up, you've obviously had a very interesting journey in terms of, you know, coming out of the government arena and into your own consulting business. I understand from the research we did and some previous discussions that you're in the process of writing a book about this. How's it coming along?
Look, it's great, and it's finished. When I say it's finished, it is in the kind of, it's being, you know, in the internal layout and, you know, all that sort of phase. So the writing is done and complete.
So what's it called and what's it about?
It's called Consult, Build a Successful Solo Business. And it's really my sense of wanting to give back in some way. You know, I mean, I had a mentor when I was started out, and I think lots of people just simply don't have that. And when I was researching the book, you know, I spoke to I interviewed quite a lot of my current clients who are senior managers in the health sector. I spoke to them about what it's like to use consultants and what they find are the problems, etc. And then I also spoke to a number of solo consultants and asked for their views, some people I knew and some people I didn't know, about, well, what did you struggle with when you first, you know, started out? And there's a great quote in the book from one of those solo consultants who said to me something like, you know, when she first started out, it was so isolating and so difficult to know where to go. She said it was difficult to know what to ask without feeling that you were asking them to give away their grandmother's scone recipe. And, you know, consulting, especially solo consulting, it's competitive and it can be very closed shop. People don't want to give away their, you know, their templates and their know-how and their knowledge. And I actually think the government sector deserves really good consultants and that we should be sharing more of what it takes. You know, there's room for many of us and we should be, you know, we should be sharing what we know. So the book is all about three things. It's three sections. And the first section is about all those existing toolbox, what we talked about earlier, and the things you need to consider if you're making the move. And the second section is all about the core consulting skills you absolutely need to nail pretty quickly to survive your first year. And then the third section is about some of the other things you can learn to get better over time and become a really excellent consultant. So the things that are not going to kill you if you don't get them right the first year and the first few projects, but over time they will assist you to really thrive.
Fabulous. And so any of our listeners who might be interested in getting hold of the book, where can they get it from?
Well, it will be available on Amazon, but also at the moment I'm also developing a new website to kind of start putting out a lot of my knowledge. And, you know, and so jackhackett.com will be up and running within a few weeks, I would hope. And so on there'll be lots of tools and tricks as well, and the book, you know, links to buying the book. But I'm hoping, you know, I'm planning to get a guide to consultancy proposals up there, perhaps a consultancy proposal template, you know, all sorts of things that I've learned along the way. And so there'll be lots of things people can download free from the website when it's up and running.
Well, Jack, we look forward to the website and the book coming out, and I'm sure some of our listeners who are in the government sector and maybe even in the corporate sector who are looking to get an understanding of what it takes to become a consultant will benefit from your words. So thank you very much for spending some time with us at Business Success Radio today.
It's been a pleasure, Anthony. It's been great to be with you.
Thank you. My name is Anthony Turner. You've been listening to Jack Hackett talking with us on businesssuccessradio.com.au.
If you've enjoyed this interview and like to hear from other successful business owners giving their tips and traps about how you can succeed in your business, then go to www.businesssuccessradio.com.au, where you can access the full library of interviews with those successful people.